So, Tom, what happened to the patient?
So what happened to him was, as we were getting him ready for treatment, he got admitted to the hospital with rapid AF and was started on amiodarone for that. And I was leaning toward bevacizumab prior to that. However, and I think I'm not different from a lot of docs in that with cardiovascular disease and extensive vascular disease, I get skittish about using bevacizumab. And I think that's why when you look at the national use of Bev in first-line lung cancer, it's not as high as it would be around a think tank group of docs who are talking in the abstract. When you're sitting in front of a patient and the guy's in the CCU, I think you can become a bit hesitant. So I didn't treat him with Bev. I actually treated him just with carboplatin and paclitaxel was what he ended up getting. His performance status wasn't quite as good when the time to actually make the decision came to be. I'm curious whether I should have used pemetrexed. It was something that went through my mind. That's probably the biggest debate I have is whether or not to use pemetrexed up front in him. I did not. I gave him carboplatin and paclitaxel, and so far he's doing okay. We don't have, obviously, any outcome data yet.
What about cetuximab?
So I thought about cetuximab in this setting. At the time, it was before the actual data was presented. I was aware there was data that was positive. I just didn't feel 100% there. And the question whether or not cetuximab will be used with other chemotherapy regimens also is one. I wouldn't give this gentleman cisplatin and vonorelbine. I thought that was too toxic of a regimen. And, you know, when you have data that's barely positive, which I think most people would agree with Flex is, I think it brings into question how substitutable are the other chemo regimens. I think they're probably going to be okay. I think that carboplatin, Taxol, and gemcitabine-based regimens and pemetrexed-based regimens will be things that we can interchange, but it's a little bit hard to know right now exactly where we stand on that. In fact, what's interesting is our thoracic group at MGH and Dana-Farber, who gets together and decides what the computer regimens are, we approved cis-vonorelbine cetuximab as our first regimen with cetuximab, and we're still debating the non-vonorelbine cis regimens for approval.
Dave?
Recently, apropos of the histology issue, I know for 4599 data, went back and looked at the adeno subset of that trial. It was about 300 patients. And actually, their median survival is pretty impressive. It was, I think, 14.6 months in that adeno subset. So certainly compares favorably, if not better, than just the Alimta cyst data in the adenos.
I'm curious, from your perspective, and what did you call it, the hen house of oncology?
Yeah.
How you see the trade-off of this really instantly controversial subset issue. You know, hearing these things played out, how does it look to you?
No, I think you have to be careful with interpreting any subset data, of course, and planned or not planned analysis. But, you know, with large numbers of patients, to me, it's finally the beginning of an enlightenment when we start looking at tumors based on their, if at the least, histologic subtypes, and then ultimately their genomic subtypes. And that's the way we should be analyzing these patients. And you can't lump them all together, really.